Francesca present Senna Matrimony.
All right, welcome to another episode of Senna Matrimony. I am Matt Scalise. Joining me, Francesca, my lovely wife, and we're here to talk about Lincoln, which we just both saw together. Francesca.
Matt.
Your quick kind of, I don't know a better way to set this up. I guess I could we could talk about Spielberg again, but we've done two Spielberg movies fairly recently. Our regular listeners probably know kind of how you feel about it.
How I feel about what?
About Spielberg.
What are you talking about?
You're not a fangirl necessarily. You're not a...
Oh, my door's open.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. What were your preconceived...
What do you mean? I'm not a fangirl of Spielberg. Spielberg does lots of different things, and I like lots of the things he does.
But you don't automatically like everything he does.
The only thing really that I didn't like that he did, and even then, I still think I conceded that it was a well-made movie. I just didn't like it. It was War Horse. But...
Did you like War of the Worlds?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. Whatever.
All
right.
It's fun. Well, so you didn't have that many preconceived notions going into this, I guess.
Well, you know what I started to think about? I don't remember ever seeing a trailer for this. Did they, not do trailers for this
movie? Yeah, they were. You just don't really watch trailers anymore.
Well, but I mean, I would have thought that, somewhere along the line when I was...
No, this was not, a heavily played... I
remember seeing, pictures and print ads, but I don't remember ever seeing a trailer for this movie.
Well, you probably would have had to seek it out online, because for whatever reason, they didn't really advertise this movie that much. I guess they just felt like it would sell itself.
And I think that was kind of my point, is that I was I never saw a trailer, but there was never any doubt in my mind that I was going to see this movie. I would say one of the most enjoyable things about this movie was that for the first, hour and a half, every time a new face was shown, it was it's that great character actor!
Yeah, one of the benefits of not seeing the trailer, yeah.
Just to the gills with character actor after character actor that we were going and we knew them all by the name of a character they played.
Right.
I don't know any of those actors'
names. We were pointing to people and going that's Gil from Breaking Bad.
Gail,
dude, yeah.
Get it together.
Gail.
Man.
Gail, excuse me.
And oh, it's that guy from The Master with the face.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Lane from Mad Men. literally that's what we did the whole movie. So
right.
That, but of course it, oh, and of course always, God love him, that guy from An Ordinary Man. Who I love so much.
An Ordinary Man.
What's it called?
A
Simple Man, well.
No, it's not called that either.
Matt!
A Serious Man.
A Serious Man. He's a man. He's a man. But I love that actor so much.
Yeah,
and
I
still don't know his name.
I can't ever remember his name either, and he's in everything.
Well, and he's so good. And of course, James Spader was killing it.
Well, I want to talk about that, though. Those three guys in particular, the little sort of, I guess you can sort of call them comic relief, but basically the bribers.
The henchmen.
They're great, and that was a wonderful inclusion into the script, and also they were well cast.
Is that an actual? That's the thing. This was such a dry subject matter, which was basically the passing of a.
It was like a West Wing episode, you know?
It was like a West Wing episode.
It was a 19th century West Wing episode.
But that's the kind of thing that I. It makes me go, how much of this is fabricated? Because it was so enjoyable to watch. It makes me feel surely some of this was invention on the part of...
Are we going to need to pause here?
Well, I can't keep podcasting while I'm putting gas in the car.
All right, we're going to pause.
Okay. Future now showing.
Oh, yeah, we should say it. So we're unpaused now, but... Oh. Yeah, our favorite theaters are now owned by the Carmike Company.
Well, I was just talking about the fact that I was just watching a closed circuit television station while putting gas in my car.
Amazing.
What?
Anyways, they did have some movie trailers on there and stuff.
No, they didn't. But Bloomberg Television did some segments, so shout out to Graham.
That's right.
Graham Flanagan.
Props for producing our gas station entertainment, brah.
Oh, don't say brah.
Anyways, back to Lincoln. So you were saying kind of the procedural aspect of it. I don't know. Do you feel like that was did it kind of take the guts out of this movie a little bit? I mean, to me it was really interesting, but I do think that this was not necessarily as emotionally intense an experience as...
Don't you say War Horse?
As I was expecting. I'm not talking about War Horse.
Well, I don't know. I think
even if you want to compare it to The West Wing, I mean, I think that there's a little bit less mushiness going on in this movie than I was expecting.
Well, I think that... I think you were saying somebody said, like, oh, it watches like a play, and that's really the thing.
So that was Ben Stark said that.
All right, Ben Stark, well done. That is exactly the thing, is that it's sort of, you know, in the style of a play, what it has to wow you with is the language and the and the way the people are saying it. You know, it kind of, like, there were definitely some beautiful and deliberate visual gifts to us, the viewer, but the meat of this was the words and the people saying them and how they were saying them.
But also plot-wise, don't you would agree that there's, like, the way that it all, that they show you how the plan came together. And really, there is some drama. Like, I honestly, it was funny, I felt tension, and I was like, oh man, I really hope they abolish slavery.
Because
I, you know, like, obviously I know how it turns out, but it was a tense moment.
You know, with Argo as well, that is the gift of, you know, a good filmmaker is going to be able to... I'm not saying Ben Affleck is Steven Spielberg. Let me just throw that out there. But
good movie's a good movie.
Well, but I mean, I'm just saying hello, Titanic. We all knew how that was going to end, but didn't we? But, you know, that's a good filmmaker still makes you go like, oh, maybe this time that was the iceberg. You know. So, but I think it had that smartness and quickness and, like, you know, gift of the gab that theater has. And it keeps you engaged on that level, sort of cleverly engaged. You feel like your mind is being, you know, you has to kind of keep up with the story, which I like. You don't see that a lot, and I like that. But I thought there was plenty of emotional moments, certainly. I mean, you know, all of the stuff with he and his wife, it just kept making me think of that Sufjan Stevens song.
Go ahead.
Because I can't remember exactly.
You're going to have to explain it because most of us don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's just on his, on one of his albums, he has like a tiny little short song because that's a thing he does that's called like For Mary Todd Lincoln Who Went Mad But With Good Reason. I'm paraphrasing it because I can't remember exactly, but that's like the name of the song.
Right.
But, you know.
Was that from his Illinois themed album?
It was. But, you know, certainly Steven Spielberg definitely, you know, and Kushner, I guess it should be said, you know, kind of went into that, you know, that, like, kind of made you go, like, well, by today's standards, she wouldn't be, like, a crazy person. She would be a person who'd been through great personal trauma and was troubled by it, as anyone would be if you lost a child.
But she got labeled because she was having some trouble dealing with stuff. Well, and also she had some kind of physical ailment, whether it was, like, migraines or whatever.
Yeah. But, you know, so I think... You know, I mean, I think kind of the point of this movie was meant to be... I was actually surprised that they went all the way to his assassination. My understanding was that that was not a part of this story, and it kind of wasn't. It was sort of just a button at the end of the film. You know, this was more like a slice of life of, like, you know, part of this great man's presidency. And I guess you could say arguably, like, the most important part of his presidency. But it was still just, you know, what, a year of his... year term. I don't know how long he was actually...
I don't know how far into his second term he was killed.
But, you know, so, I mean, yeah, it was almost... Yeah, West Wing definitely kept on coming up to me that, like, that's what this is. This is a West Wing episode in that it took its pains to teach, to educate, you know, while you're the viewer.
Right, they did a good job of explaining to you why they're doing what they're doing. But speaking to the assassination part of it, which I guess, whatever, they did it in like a clever way of like you're expecting it and they're like, oh, this is actually a different theater. I just felt like the inclusion of that bit of it, period.
Yeah,
I could have done without it.
It did nothing for me.
You
know, because that is the thing. If you're not gonna make that, like, I think that was probably to appease the masses who would go and be
like,
what?
They didn't even show them getting shot?
Right, which they still didn't actually show.
Right.
But, like, you know, it would have... I feel like it would have been a braver move to just only have it be about the...
It's an episode.
Amendment.
Yeah.
Or the... What you call it?
Yeah, the amendment.
Okay. I kept getting worried that I was going to say the...
I'm okay that they showed the end of the war.
Yeah.
Because I felt like that was a product of the amendment to some extent. But, like...
Yeah, well, and, you know, and also understanding this, because I read Entertainment Weekly, okay? Like, you know, Tony Kushner's first version was like a 500-page, you know, so like they were pulling from.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he wrote, you know, it may have been like in a first draft that he wrote the assassination as well, and you know that it was cleverly, you know, dealt with, and because that's the thing. I mean, that is the thing that I think you're going to get every time you use a playwright versus just like a screenwriter is there's an element of cleverness that a playwright is going to bring, and you know. Like, I mean, the opening scene with the soldiers and Lincoln, and they're kind of fanboys of Lincoln, basically, but then it also then turns into this very emotional moment as well, like...
That was, you know, maybe the most emotionally effective scene in the entire movie to me.
And that was so theatrical. That was so something that you could see happening on a stage. It was this short scene. It was clever, it was thoughtful, but it was also conveying so much by not... Like, a screenwriter would probably just hit you over the head with some character going, like, he's such a good and, you know, wholesome man. And instead, they did this display of him, you know, conversing on the level with, you know, with soldiers and making jokes with them, but respecting them, you know, letting them respect him a little bit. You
I
know,
like how he spoke to... soldiers the entire movie. Like,
well, it's how he spoke
to
everybody.
It was very conversational.
You know, the telegraph guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's down there in the middle of the night talking to them. Which, again, you know, a good writer, you know, the whole thing about the theory of if two things equal the same thing, they're equal to
good
each
scene.
Other. Like, you know, a screenwriter, and I'm dogging on screenwriters, I shouldn't be, but, you know, a lesser writer would have just had the guy, you know, had the telegraph kid go, oh, yeah, yeah, that's that thing where two things... And instead he had him go, like, well, maybe, like, I didn't remember everything that I learned.
Yeah,
you know, like, it was just a... Like, because that is what would happen in life, is, you know... And maybe he even did remember, but he was just opening that door for the president to walk through. You know, like, kind of thing. But that was the clever approach to it, which...
It just rings truer.
A writer would come up with that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it has to be said. Every person who got a scrap of screen time in this movie just killed it. There was one of the telegraph writers, the one who was in the foreground.
Yeah.
Like, there was a reaction shot, and I saw this kid, I don't even know how he did it. He had, like, his eye was twitching, and he looked like he was about to cry.
Yeah.
Just listening to him. It was just him kind of giving his little sermon, and the kid was, like, having a moment. Like, everybody was just acting the hell out of
him. Well, I'll tell you a good example of what you're talking about is the vote scene. That entire bit of the movie where all the congressmen are voting. Like, all of these actors have a pretty important moment to serve up. And I don't feel like any of them phoned it in or were just cast because of how they looked. Like, there are probably 24 or more actors in that scene who really have to come through and deliver something, even if it's just one word.
Right.
And they all bring something to it. They all have a great little moment. I bet there's 30 guys in that scene that impressed me.
Yeah.
And some of them, you know,
literally
have a little bit of
yay.
A backstory, but some of them don't. Some of them, you know, there's a little bit more going on to it. I don't know. I thought they were all great. I do think that Tommy Lee Jones is going to get a lot of attention, but I mean, and he's really good and I enjoy him and he was well cast. I do think it's just Tommy Lee Jones doing what Tommy Lee Jones does. He's the same thing all the time.
There's a call for that, though. There's a call for an actor who you know what
I don't have a problem with it. I wasn't surprised by anything he did.
We're not even talking about Daniel Day-Lewis, and this is why, because I never saw Daniel Day-Lewis. I know that's very dramatic to say, but, I mean, honestly, I had to remind myself, like,
he, like, disappeared.
There's nothing you can even talk about. I mean, he's just great and perfect, and just, you believe every second of it. Like, I had to keep telling myself, like, this is a British man.
Yeah, it's
This is not Abraham Lincoln, but...
It's a highlight performance, for sure.
No, let's be honest. When has he ever been in anything? Even been in anything subpar, let alone been subpar in anything.
Right.
He's the best. Nothing really to talk about there.
No, I think...
Except for how great he is.
I'm sure he will be getting his speech ready in February. I will say, I want to say that if I want to champion someone from this movie that I feel like won't get enough attention... I think James Spader, I wish he could get a supporting actor nomination. I don't think his part was big enough, I think that Tommy Lee Jones is going to get all the love. But I thought James Spader was really good.
Well,
he was really funny. He brought something to that part, even more so than Tim Blake Nelson and John Hawks did.
Well, because he got the meatier part. But
right.
The thing with James Spader, and I want to say maybe I was listening to an interview with, like, Mindy Kaling. Somebody was saying, or no, I think it was actually Angela Kinsey, because she was on The Nerdist, which I was listening to not long ago. But she was saying, like, he brings such a crazy energy. And that's the thing. Like, he's one of those actors that's just, like, he's magnetic. You can't do anything but watch him, and you don't know what he's going to do. But, like, you know, he's the kind of plays this, like, comic relief, loose cannon thing. And then you get to that scene where Lincoln's in the room and his Secretary of State is trying to get him to use one of the less loose cannon guys. And he's like, no, this is the guy I want.
Right.
And he's the guy who gets it done. And he knows, like...
Yeah, David Strathairn, by the way, also really good.
Oh, well. I have a little crush on him, so I can't
address
my feelings. I just love him. I just love him no matter what he does. But, because, like, that scene, again, a very well-written scene, you know... You've spent the whole movie thinking, like, he's the crazy one, and he's gonna do something stupid. And then when presented with the president, even though he's still being, like, pompous and kind of speaking out of turn, when the president's, like, you know, trailing off at the end of the sentences, he's answering. Like, he knows he's got the intel.
Yeah.
He actually, even though he's acting like, you know...
Oh, he has it together, yeah.
He's the one who knows the best and knows how to handle it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was great. I would like to see him get nominated.
I'd love it. I just don't think there's enough room, and I think that, like I said, I think all the lobbying is going to be behind Tommy Lee Jones. But whatever, it's fine. It was a good. That was a really good performance too.
Well, you think Sally Field's going to get nominated?
Yeah, possibly. She brought a lot too, and I think in the hands of another actress, that could be a character that's really unlikable and is not fun to watch. I mean, I don't think she's fun to watch, but I think it would have been really, you know.
Well, no one does Careworn like she does.
We talk. We can. This is a long.
Into a very, very sad and hard living kind of.
This is a longer conversation, but there's actually a really interesting. I don't know. I'm sure you read it. The Entertainment Weekly bit about how people really hate female characters who become obstacles for male heroes. And I think that all accounts, this should have been that kind of character. And some, you know, I'm sure to some degree it's the writing that they didn't make her that. But I think Sally Field made her very sympathetic as well.
Well, no, and I think was,
it took
no
a lot of skill to make her...
standing in his way of accomplishing...
No, but she was an emotional obstacle. She made Lincoln's life more difficult in the movie. And she wasn't just standing by being perfect and supportive and everything.
Well, the part
so.
Of probably why we, the viewers... absolve her some of that is A, she just really acted well, that you're like, yeah, she's clearly just heartbroken and, you know, wrecked by the death of her child, but also that she acknowledges at the end they're just going to remember me for being crazy and for being in
right.
their way, you know, kind of thing. So, like, I think in a way, since she wasn't
I did think that scene was weird, though. They're like, it's almost like they were looking at the camera going like, listen, audience, before you get the wrong idea, we don't want you to think that. I mean, but they didn't do that. It just was funny that they're basically talking about the people watching the movie.
Well, I mean, you know, look, that is, as was noted by, you know, the Speaker of the House.
Was it?
Whoever said, like, no, this is history and I want to be a part of it. The guy who.
Yeah, it was the Speaker of the House.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not good with
good
the,
job. That's you. The dude who sits in the back.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so. You know, as was pointed out by him, he's like, no, this is history and I want to be a part of it. I mean, I think, you know, you have to think at some point, the great men and women who are taking these great strides did know that they were part of history.
And I think that's cool.
I like
that everybody that voted yay or nay, and I'm sure there were some names that didn't get read out in the movie.
I don't know. I did kind of wonder, like, maybe, because that was a really long scene.
But
like,
I think
maybe
that's cool. Like, you should be accounted. The people who voted yay and nay on that. Like, I like that they got their billing in this movie, that Spielberg was like, you should know. Their names should be said again, and we should say how they voted. Because it's important, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, anyways, but I think that a little bit, you know, because I think part of, as that magazine article was talking about these women, I think part of what we don't like about them is they're self-righteous. Even if they're right, it's problematic. It's hard to like someone who's self-righteous, you know, Skyler or whoever else they were talking about.
Yeah, well, mostly we're talking about Skyler from Breaking Bad, yeah.
If they are self-righteous, even if they're right, nobody likes to watch that. That does make somebody detestable. And, you know, so having
Oh, you're letting us all off the hook for being sexist. But I will, again, it's a longer podcast.
Well, no. I'm not talking about female, you know, but whatever. I'm talking about regardless of, you know, female or male question, just, you know, a person who's right and is like, I am right, and, you know, whatever. My point is, him having, you know, Mary Lincoln, although was he calling her Molly? Is that like a nickname or something?
I feel like he did call her Molly in the
well,
movie.
Well, maybe that's a nickname, I didn't know. But, you
from
know,
Mary
her,
Todd put together. Mary Todd Lincoln, like M-O-L.
Okay.
M-T-O-L.
Yeah, what? Anyways, I think she gets a little of, I think we, the audience, her acknowledgement of the fact that she hasn't made life easy for him makes it, helps us to forgive her some.
Yeah.
And again, just the fact that she acted so well, and you kind of see the reason why that it's so hard for her to hold it together is that she lost the child, which is devastating.
Sure.
So, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
He didn't get a lot to do, though.
He didn't, but I mean, that whole scene with, you know, Lincoln and his son was at the hospital. That was a good scene.
It was a good scene.
It was a, you know, and of course, I guess really the point of that scene is it's the impetus for the big scene between he and his wife.
Right.
You know? So.
I agree.
Kind of pushes that action.
That his character was more of a tool to create some stuff between Lincoln and
And, you know,
and Mary.
Even that scene where, I guess kind of both of those scenes is kind of the quote-unquote cruelest you ever see him, but even still, he's still kind of always, you know, well-spoken and, you know.
Oh, I don't think he was doing anything wrong in that scene.
No, but I'm saying that was kind of the meanest you ever see him, you know. It,
yeah.
This, I guess you could potentially, you know, accuse this movie of deifying him too much, but.
Sure. He's not very flawed in this movie at all.
But, you don't really want to see thinking flawed, and you know, and I mean, again, he was kind of mean to Mary in that scene a little bit, you know, just kind of because he was kind of throwing in her face that she was grieving, but then
yeah.
he would quickly say like, "I'm grieving too. I'm just grieving
that's
on the
his,
inside.
That,
and don't
yeah.
throw that.
Well,
know,
that's
hold that against me
yeah.
Either.
That's his one big flaw is that he basically didn't. He basically tried to you know control his wife's emotions, and. You know, but eventually he resolves that. I mean, he eventually comes through in the end and
so,
figures it out. But
I mean, I guess that could be an accusation of, you know, this movie. But on the other hand, like, I mean, is there anyone coming out and, like, accusing Abraham Lincoln of, you know... I mean, you would think by now, you know...
No, there are. There's people all the time.
Thomas Jefferson,
no, there's people...
That you would think if there was a crack somewhere, people would have, like, gone crazy
no,
on it.
No, there's people all the time who spuriously claim that Lincoln was actually... racist, or he was actually personally in favor of
and
slavery,
I will say,
which is not true at all. And Tony Kushner has said that in interviews. He said, you know, all the evidence suggests that he was completely against slavery. He was not prejudiced against
well, and he
black
made,
people.
You know, they did say that his father even was, you know, while he didn't love his father was
an abolitionist.
Well, fairness was the watchword
yeah.
of his father. And
right.
He learned all his other things elsewhere, but that fairness came to him from his father, too. So, but I will say what, and this may be based in fact, but it felt a little pat in the story, was the reveal about Thaddeus, what's his face, who his lady was. Which, again, may be true.
It's fine. I didn't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem
I
with it.
I do think it was a little winky, though, of like...
Yeah.
But whatever. It's fine.
It is. But, like I said, it just felt, you know, I guess if I'm going to make any criticism, it does feel like there was a lot of post notes to this movie.
Yeah, they
bit.
Couldn't
it
wrap
like
it up quite tightly enough.
Well, they
the
could
end.
Have, but they could have done it, you know, four endings ahead of time. But, you know, again, I guess my point is, of all the characters, he's the one who, yeah, it is hard to get past the Tommy Lee Jones-ness of Tommy Lee Jones. So, in a way, to me, he was kind of the only character that rang false just because he's
no,
just so
I still
him
liked
him.
Him. I still liked him.
I'm not saying he's
him.
Bad. I'm just saying, you know, I was 100% buying the fictitious characters of everyone else. And with him, it was just kind of like, oh, there's...
Right.
And, I mean, he was supposed to be from Philadelphia, right?
Well, whatever. I'm not
well,
going to get
his
on people
voices,
for
I'm
accents.
Just saying. I'm just saying. He just is, you know, whatever. But I didn't have, you know... It was a good movie. It was a very good
You
movie.
Liked it overall?
I very much liked it overall. I'll recommend it to my parents.
I do too. I will say that I'm you know, I agree with you. I think it was a little bit clumsy down the stretch, but overall, really good movie. One of the best I've seen this year, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, thanks for podcasting with me.
Like I had a choice.
Again, always.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
See ya. All right,
bye.
See ya. All right,
bye.
See ya. All right.